The 3HL takes the handoff at 2. Now, more nonstop sports talk with the Midday 180 on 104.5 The Zone.
Welcome back into the Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue here on 104.5 The Zone. Chad Withrow, Paul Koharski with you. David Reed is our chairman of the board. Jonathan Hutton will be back with us on Monday. If you hate me or you hate Paul or you especially hate me and Paul together, well, then good news for you. Jonathan Hutton will be back on the show on Monday. That laugh that you hear in the background is the great coach Dave McGinnis. He's presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Online at fbhealthplans.com. He talks ball with us every Thursday from 10:15 until about 11. Coach Mack, welcome in and congratulations. We will have Kirby on with you coming up at 10:50 to tell us a story.
Yeah, good morning, guys. That is really good news. That's the second best news I've heard in the last 5 minutes. The first best news is that with the blowtorch ability and the great faithful listeners of 104.5 The Zone, Midday 180 in particular, Paul Koharski got his wallet back that he didn't even know was lost. That's solid. Good, solid citizens in Nash Vegas. That's perfect.
Very good news all around. Otherwise, I might not be on the show right now. I might be up by the barn combing and gritting things. Kirby might not be available either. He'd be up there helping me grid.
No. He'd have had one of those metal detectors out there. He'd have been combing the barn. He'd have been combing the roadways for you. He'd have found it.
Coach Mack, I don't know if you heard Reed and I reading Paul's text to us this morning.
No, I missed it.
Here was Paul's text this morning. Lost wallet last night and had word of recovery as I awoke, trying to get guy on. Now, we were reading that and thinking word of recovery. We didn't know if like someone was recovering from an illness or what was going on, but he wrote it like Shakespeare, to which our buddy Craig Nance heard this.
Yeah, good, me, Craig.
And said, Paul is Captain Andrew Luck. And the way he writes and sent me one of Andrew Luck's tweets.
Hey, good for Craig Nance. That's a whole lot like Captain Andrew Luck. That was like a letter from the front in about 1862. That's amazing.
I'm gonna poll on this because I think I'm taking too much grief here.
Paul is just playing. He's speaking to King's English and he's playing grammatical chess while the rest of us are playing checkers. Apparently, with how he writes, like Captain Andrew Luck.
No, absolutely. I mean, I'd have been lost my wallet. Didn't even know I'd lost the damn thing. Somebody found it. I'm really happy.
Let's talk some ball, Coach.
Yes, go.
Mike Vrabel yesterday said that he doesn't think it would be fair if states or areas that are allowed to gather started to have anything like that happening when other places in the NFL can't do that, that it would be an unfair advantage. Let's go into the mind of a coach a little bit during a time like this, because this is pretty unprecedented. We've had work stoppages and things like that before, but in terms of a pandemic in recent NFL history where no one can be around each other for an extended period of time, how difficult is it for someone that lives with structure and lives with a daily plan to get through this when you really, I guess everyone's kind of rewriting the rules as we go in terms of how they're going about their job? How tough is that for a coach?
Yeah, I like the question. And you talk about work stoppages. I mean, I've been through, and you guys have too, you know, I believe, and probably some of our listeners during the course, you know, of my time in the National Football League, been through the 87 strike. I was a head coach during 9/11. Okay. Then I've been through the lockout. The biggest difference is that the entire country and the economy wasn't shut down during all of those things. You could still operate. Now your rhythm and your schedule was thrown off because of what was particularly going on in the first two instances with the lockout and with the strike, what was going on in the National Football League, but the country wasn't affected. And then clearly 9/11 was something that affected all of the country. And then the National Football League had to adjust within itself according to that. But this is entirely different. This is shut down, you know, not only the country, but the world. And it's something that's happened not only to the football aspect of it in the world of the National Football League, but really everybody in the economy concerned with everything. So I think it is a very, very fluid issue. And so to get your piece of it, I've talked to a lot of coaches, you know, around the league in the last couple of weeks, you know, but in a lot of different areas, head coaches, coordinators, assistant coaches, scouts. I just talked to them trying to get a feel as to what, you know, they are doing, how they are adjusting, you know, on a personal basis. Not to ask them any particulars about, hey, you know, what exactly are you guys doing, but just to kind of get a feel of it. And what they are, what the general consensus that I get is that they all, when this hit and everybody was starting to feel their way, you know, just like we were here in Nashville, you know, not only us, but everybody in Nashville, that you start to adjust your daily schedule as to what's going on. And then you've got to broaden your lens a little bit as to how it's going to affect, you know, personally, what you're doing within your industry. And so the thing that I get is that the more directives that they get from the league as to how it's going to go, then it's up to you within those guidelines to use your imagination, to use your ingenuity, and to use everything that you have to make it work the best for you as to what you are doing. And so, look, we all know that our schedules have been altered greatly. Our daily lives have been altered. And so as a coach, what you have to do, guys, if you've made it this far in your career in the National Football League, you have shown that you are able to adapt and adjust very quickly, and you have to produce at the moment. That's what most of them are doing right now. They are trying to be innovative with what they are doing, and they're making it work, because at the end of the day, sooner or later, we're going to be playing games, and it's not going to matter at all what ever you've gone through or what everybody else has gone through collectively. At the end of those 3 hours and 10 minutes, when we start playing games for real, you're going to have to win the game.
Sean Payton just washed away this virtual offseason, remote offseason element of his team's offseason. Obviously, team by team in terms of experience and ability to get by without it. But what did you think maybe when you heard that?
Well, yeah, and I'm glad you bring that up, Paul, because it's affecting everybody in the same uniform way, because as Chad said, you know, everybody is going to be put on an equal basis as far as to when they can start. As you know, nobody can get a head start on anybody, but everybody is free within the confines of their own organization to handle it however you want to. It didn't really shock me a lot about Sean. Sean, you know, is a forward thinker as far as in the way that he wants to do things. And so clearly in his mind and in his group think mind with them down there in New Orleans, they thought, look, here's how we're going to handle it. That really didn't shock me, though, knowing Sean. I mean, it didn't shock me at all. But and it doesn't shock me that people are handling it different ways. When I talk to people, Paul, around the league about how they're handling this virtual offseason right now, guys are doing different things. I mean, you know, some guys are trying to keep it, you know, they're interjecting not only football into it, but some other things, you know, to keep everybody's interest, you know, that is on the Zoom screen with it. Some people are bringing in some guest speakers during certain times of this, you know, during certain times of the programs that they have for their players. And so everybody's approaching it in different ways. But as I said, the end result of it is you're going to be responsible when we finally nail it down and we're having ball games that count. You're going to have to win those games.
When we come back with Coach Mack, and it's Coach Mack presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans, online at fbhealthplans.com, we'll continue talking about this time and what NFL coaching staffs are doing. Also want to ask about the addition of Christian Fulton and what that means in terms of replacing Logan Ryan and the direction that Titans secondary is going in with a player like Fulton. We'll get into that more when we come back. It's the Midday 180 queued up by Edley's Barbecue.
Your station where you can feel some normalcy. 104.5 The Zone.
Welcome back to the Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue here on 104.5 The Zone. Edley's Barbecue, authentically Nashville, locally owned. Edley'sBBQ.com. Chad Withrow, Paul Kuharski with you. Jonathan Hutton will be back with us next week. David Reed is the chairman of the board. Dave McGinnis on with us every Thursday at this time, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans, online at fbhealthplans.com. Let's talk some Titans, Coach Mack. And we now know, based on what Logan Ryan said, that the Titans just absolutely made a decision to part ways with Logan Ryan and not even offer him another contract. Logan Ryan saying he wanted 1 year at the same rate. to stay with the Titans, and the Titans weren't interested in that. They go out and they draft Christian Fulton, who in some way will plug into Logan Ryan's spot at times in the secondary. So let's look at Christian Fulton, the player, and Logan Ryan, the player, and why you go to that style player of Christian Fulton and what the Titans are looking for in that position ultimately.
Well, first and foremost, I mean, you know, in the National Football League, you reach a point in your career, you know, regardless of production, at some point it's going to come down to money. And clearly that it came down to money, you know, at this point. And then, you know, you've got to continue. You're going to flip 27 to 32% of your roster every year. And they'd clearly made a decision that they were going to get younger at that position. And so when they got Fulton, I mean, the thing that you're not going to replace immediately, I mean, I'm stating the obvious right now, you cannot manufacture experience in this league, just like it's hard to manufacture experience in any profession. But, in professional sports, you know, you're going to get younger, you know, periodically throughout the transition of your football team. And so that's what they did. You want to go right to what Fulton does. I mean, he's a guy that can play man. He can play press man. I mean, he's gone against, you know, some of the best receivers in the country at the NCAA level. He's been productive doing that. Now, look, is he going to have the experience of a Logan Ryan with the nuances of any position wherever they decide to start out playing him and transition him into a National Football League career? No. The answer to that is absolutely not. But they feel like he's got the requisite man-to-man skills. He's got the requisite what I call sticky skills. In other words, ability to motor and mirror on receivers of any type, speed receivers, larger receivers. He's really, when you watch tape, he's really good at the catch point. As far as he doesn't panic, he's able to stay in phase, you know, pretty well. And so I don't know how they're going to deploy him. I mean, it's going to be, you know, very interesting, you know, once they start practicing and I'm able to watch practice and then see how they're going to start to train him and deploy him. But look, they clearly made the decision, you know, and money's a big part of it. You know, money and the salary cap are a big part of it. We witnessed it, you know, in two instances, I think, you know, this year in the season with two good veteran players. But there's a time as to when you just money out. Sometimes in your career, we saw it with Logan Ryan, and then we saw it with Jarrell Casey. And I don't think it had any type of indictment as far as the type of person nor the type of player they were. It's just there comes a point in time during the course of your career where this is going to happen. I mean, I never witnessed it when I first got in the league because we didn't have free agency and we didn't have the salary cap. Once all these things became a fact of the National Football League, these decisions started to be made.
Conklin, too, you could put on that list. Hey, I'm wondering, there's so much talk now, Monday Night Football is going to have a new booth. We just don't know who's in it. In your days as a coach who was in production meetings, how much did they vary from crew to crew? And were there some that you actually looked forward to and some that you dreaded? How different was a good one from a bad one?
No, there's absolutely a difference, Paul. And I mean, that's an insightful question. And the answer is, I mean, of course, anybody that does it at that level is professional, but I mean, there's some that are better than others. And of course, some, you know, that you have a background with or that are just more adept at what they do in the production meetings. And again, I think it usually the ones that are on all the national games, I mean, those crews, you know, are pretty solid with their producers and everybody that's in there. I mean, they're asking, you know, not probing questions, but they're asking insightful questions that can be beneficial to the listeners. A lot of times, if you had former coaches, I always liked the ones that had former coaches, you know, as part of the crew, because you could really start talking ball with them and they understood what they could divulge and what they couldn't. But you could go a little deeper dive with coaches on there, you know, with my aspect of it, just because you could start saying, hey, look, here's what's happening here. And they'll say, you know, and they usually will ask you, you know, last week, because they'll watch the last week's film at least. Some go deeper than that, say, you know, what's happening here? What are you thinking of tweaking here? You know, going into this next game against this opponent, we saw what you did here. How would that change here? And then the level of comfort that you had just with your relationship with them. Sometimes you would go deeper than some with others. But to your question, Paul, yes, there are some that are better than others at it. And then there are some that just hit it at a very, very, surface level. And you know that that's the kind of broadcast you're going to get. The others, you know that you're going to get a pretty decent and you're going to get a pretty good deep dive without giving away anything, because there has to be a level of trust there. And there's a different level of trust. I mean, I can tell you that. I mean, I just lived it.
Coach Dave McGinnis, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans here on the Midday 180. Coach, we had John Feinstein on earlier this week. We have him on every Monday on the show. He tweeted out a quote from Doug Williams, basically saying that if Mitchell Trubisky wasn't white, then Deshaun Watson or Patrick Mahomes would have gone at number two to the Bears, or something along those lines. And he wrote a book about the race element and the quarterback position in the NFL. It got a lot more attention because Deshaun Watson responding to a Doug Gottlieb tweet saying it's ridiculous for John Feinstein to say that. He said that, well, the Bears didn't talk to me at all. And then people were going back and showing reports where he was interviewed saying he did, in fact, have conversations with the Bears at the time. You worked in the Bears organization. You know the family that owns the Bears very well. And my question is this. Aren't we past the point, because we've had enough successful African-American quarterbacks in the NFL and all over college football, that it's no longer that big of an issue to draft a black quarterback in the NFL, or is this still a thing in certain circles around the league?
Well, first of all, last time I worked at the Bears was 1995. I have no idea. I have no idea what the Bears, I know this. What was that? The 2017 draft? And that
yes.
what it was the 2017
yes.
draft. Well, I don't know who the decision makers were, but you just want to talk about evaluating talent and wanting to get the best quarterback for what you're doing. I would say right now it's probably proven out pretty well that the Houston Texans with Watson and then Andy Reid with Patrick Mahomes, they won that evaluation period. I'll say that.
Oh, no doubt about it. And, it became a topic for that reason. But I don't know. It's just not something that I see that's as commonplace right now. Dave McGinnis on with us, again, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. With the Titans draft picks, Coach, in terms of communication and what you can do, you're trying to get people in line with your program, with what you do as a coach, with what you're going to do as a team. How are the Titans going about that? What can you do? What can't you do during this time to get your guys ready to go whenever football resumes?
Chad, I think that goes back to the discussion we had in an earlier segment. The teams that are better during the offseason, during normal times, are the teams that are going to embrace this time and find ways to make this the most productive for them. I mean, I do know this. With some of the conversations I've had across the league, these Zoom meetings, you're going to have to be very, very organized. And as I said, some people have been very creative in what they are doing, because you've got a whole new group coming in. You've got some veterans coming back. You've got all players on all these Zoom meetings. You guys have your midday mixers. You know how many people you have on there. You've got all different types of players at different levels of development now on your team, but you've got to engage them all and at least give them all a common base to start from and work with. And so you can do a lot with it, but it comes down to your organization. What types of meetings have you had prior to this? And then it comes down a lot of times to the ingenuity of the position coach and to the coordinators, because those are going to be the guys that are going to be forming up in the offensive and defensive groups, and then break down into the subsets of your positional groups. How engaged are, can you keep your guys? Because you guys know as well as I do. I mean, we started it a long time ago, giving you a little bit of insight into, we started, later on in my coaching career, putting baskets outside our meeting rooms and having everybody bring their phones to the meeting room, put your phones inside this basket outside the room. And then at 22 or 23 minutes, everybody would take an 8-minute break. Go check your phones. Go check your phones, do that stuff, and then come back in and get locked in and get engaged. I mean, you know, 30 years ago when I first started out with the Bears, we never thought about doing that. We didn't have to. That wasn't part of it. You just locked in for a meeting and stay. So you have to be able to adapt to the times. But those teams right now that are adapting the best to this virtual offseason that now is going to be in place at least through May the 29th, but there's a lot that you can get done. And as I said, the conversations that I have had in the past 2 weeks with a lot of different sources around the league with people that are doing it is they're finding ways to get things not only introduced and to start going through football things, but they're also finding ways to get everybody to start knowing who everybody is, because you know, that's a big thing. We always used to really like getting our rookies in there by themselves for a time, you know, away from the vets. So the rookies would have a little bit of time for assimilation. That's not going to happen now. Everybody's going to come back at once. And so you're going to have a way to have everybody be familiar with the people they're going to come into that building with before they ever meet them in person.
Coach Dave McGinnis, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. He'll stick around with us for one more segment. And when we come back, we have a treat for Coach Mac. Kirby, he's got a story about his eighth grade basketball championship celebration that he will share with us. We will be joined live by Kirby Allen, Kirby, from his yurt when we return. The Midday 180 queued up by Edley's Barbecue.